Top story this week nationally, of course, has been the passage of the Republican health care plan in the House of Representatives, moves on to the U.S. Senate, where, by all accounts, it faces an even steeper uphill climb and will likely be significantly changed, perhaps even gutted and restarted again. And that's on the off chance that it does pass the Senate. So there's a lot more to say between now and a final deal, but significant development on Thursday with the passage of that plan. Joined now by Gene Bolduc, who is the host of the Weekend Water Cooler here on WCHL, to talk about that more. Gene, how are you?
Well, I'm good, but I have to say my head is spinning a little bit. You know, I have some dizziness, which I think is now a pre-existing condition for me.
Oh, that ain't
good. Add to those I already have. From watching this absolutely ridiculous victory lap at the White House yesterday, after passing a bill in the House, I've not heard anyone in the coverage say, "Oh yeah, that's just like the last time when that happened."
Right.
When what? That
yeah,
never happened before.
You get one
before.
Bill passed through one
through
House
one
of Congress,
chamber.
And you have to hold a big
right.
event to celebrate.
Right. And you know,
it,
my yeah. recollection is that in sports, If you spike the ball on the 50-yard line, they call that a fumble usually.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's probably one of the most, I think that we're going to look back at one of the most colossal, foolish mistakes that a national, or
it's
what used to be a national
party.
Mission
accomplished banner.
Yeah,
it really
rang of that, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, except for the, and actually, you know what? Did the president not end up on an aircraft carrier later in the day?
Oh,
my
there
goodness.
You go. Yeah.
Let's think about that. Yeah, as he sat there staring up skyward to try to think of the name of the Prime Minister of Australia.
Yeah.
While he told
whose healthcare
him,
plan
whose
is healthcare terrific,
plan,
by the
he
way.
Said,
yeah.
you know, was so much better than
yeah.
ours. And he couldn't be more right than that. Bernie Sanders said later on, "Don't worry. All Democrats hit record when they saw that, and you'll have plenty more chances to see that little clip."
Well, it's not even, I mean, it's not even Democrats at this point. You've got, and it's really interesting to see the breakdown among Republicans, because, and I think we talked about this before,
yeah.
people on the sort of far-right European parties, which the Republican Party is more and more starting to, that
right,
wing of
right,
the Republican
we
Party that models itself
before,
after
right,
those far-right
right.
parties is starting to be dominant. Those far-right European parties are actually pro
exactly.
single-payer health care for bizarre political reasons. But even the wing of the Republican Party that's opposed to that and wants to go back to the free market and
right.
pull the government out and whatever, Charles Krauthammer has a piece on, I think, nationalreview.com now, and it might be in other places as well, but I think that's where I saw it, where he said, we're going to have single payer in 7 years, like it or not.
Oh,
and I
think
he doesn't like it.
Oh, I don't think it'll take anywhere near that long.
Well, you have to get a, I think you have to get a,
when do you start the clock, right?
Right, right. I think you have to get a Congress that will pass it and a president that will sign it, but
yeah, that's going to be.
But
like,
I don't think Krauthammer's entirely off yeah. base on that one, and he's saying that in a negative sense, like he doesn't want that.
Right.
But he's saying, look at what's happening now
and
in the debate that's going
Aaron,
on.
Aaron, I told you last week that ironically Donald Trump might be the guy who would sign it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that in 2 years that we're going to be looking back saying, who thought we'd ever end up here? But there's Donald Trump signing single payer into law as an amendment of Obamacare. Thrown at him because the Democrats are going to retake the House and the Senate and push it through. And you know what? I dare you to be surprised if that happens.
Yeah.
Because you as you listen to so-called conservatives talk about this, they talk about the markets and they talk about cost and the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at this system as a healthcare system, not how it plays in your state, but as an organism,
mm-hmm.
the single payer is the least expensive way to deliver health care.
Yeah.
And not to sell health insurance, but to deliver health care.
To deliver health care.
There's
and
just no debate about that
and
among
I mean, that's
serious
a, that
people.
That is a frustrating thing because single payer is expensive. It costs money. Taxes are high in Europe and Canada and Australia for a reason, but you're right.
But like, it's the most efficient way to deliver the
yeah.
services, you know,
to everyone.
Most fair and,
yep.
you know, and so forth. And the fact is it takes the profit motive out of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people, including a couple of doctors I know personally, who would be quite delighted to see that happen.
Yeah. Speaking with Gene Bolduc. And the other thing too is the sort of conservative argument in favor of the free market and just sort of letting the free market do what it does. The basic principle of free market economics is that supply and demand curve, right? Where you've got demand that is really high when the price is low and goes down as the price increases, supply is really low when the price is low and goes up, and there's that point when the two lines cross.
Right.
That's the equilibrium point. If you let the free market just do what it does, eventually the price will settle on that point, and that will be the efficiency, which is fine if you're talking about candy bars or smartphones or luxury cars or things like that. But you have to
or manufactured goods that makes all the sense
in the
world.
Consider the fact that the people at that top of the demand curve who, like, there are going to be people wherever that equilibrium point is, there are going to be people who will not purchase that thing because the price is too high.
That's right.
And when you're talking about candy bars and movie tickets and luxury cars, whatever, we can live without that. When you're talking about healthcare, we can't live without it.
Right.
So to say, well, let's just let it settle at the equilibrium price is to say that all of those people are just out of luck.
And you know, in our society makes a lot of big decisions based on culture.
Mm-hmm.
And for my money, in the whole debate, and I've been watching, you know, I'm one of these people who's going to get creamed by this if they repeal the ACA. So yeah. I pay a lot of attention to this. And
yeah, I'm actually one of the people who suffers from the ACA because I'm the young healthy person.
You're the young healthy guy who's paying for me.
So
thanks, I appreciate you saving my life.
Yeah.
But I think that the most effective and on point, detailed speech on healthcare that I've seen in the last 2 years was delivered by Jimmy Kimmel this week about his newborn child.
Yeah.
And this is the compelling argument that he makes, which is no parent should have to decide if they can afford to save the life of their child. And that's a person with a lot of means for whom this does not have a direct impact, but he's able to arrive at compassion in his life. So, you know, I appreciate that from him, and I think that he's made the argument as well as anybody, better than any politician I've ever heard.
Yeah, and he's not the only one who's done that. I remember, what was it? This was way, way back during the Obamacare debate, the original, like, way back in 08, 09, Glenn Beck. Do you remember he had the same, it was his own personal health issues, but very, very similar.
He had a very comparable story, that's right. And it does cut across, you know, because, you know, some of these conditions, I did not choose to have a couple of the birth defects that I have that caused me to have 8 knee surgeries. But I have them nevertheless, so does my son. And these are not choices that we made.
Yeah.
I need to have knees. I got the ones they gave me. So what can I tell you? I've spoken to the manufacturers about it.
That's what did they say in response?
They said, I'm sorry, a lot.
Okay,
and interestingly enough, my mother said, I'm sorry about 10,000 times. And it turns out, as life has told us the story, they really are my father's knees.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
There you go. So what do you think is going to happen now that it's in the Senate?
I think it's
going to... Do they pass a different bill? Do they not pass anything?
I think that the Senate may pass an entirely different bill.
Mm-hmm.
I would dearly love to believe that the Senate would pass a bill that, or at least see a bill to the floor for debate that offered to correct the problems in the ACA instead of creating a brand new system.
Yeah.
I would find that entirely refreshing if they did that. I think that the most likely outcome since repealing the ACA would have a very negative impact in Kentucky, Mitch McConnell's home state.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will never see the light of day, will never come to a vote in the Senate, and it will die quietly after the tweet storm has moved on from the White House onto another subject because they've had their victory lap and all the folks in the House have been able to say, yeah, we passed it like we said we would, we kept our promise, and they can just move on.
I will admit that it would be very refreshing, if you're right, for anything to happen quietly in
that would be amazing in itself.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. and if all of these people are still in office at the end of the year and none have been, you know, forced out in disgrace or under indictment, you know, these are things that, you know, can have a serious impact on this. So I think that it's more likely than not that the bill that was passed yesterday will absolutely never become a law.
Weekend water cooler airs at noon and 8 p.m. on Saturday, and then again at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Who's our guest this week?
Yes, indeed. This week we are talking, interestingly enough, in the water cooler about water and about fluoridation, fluoride being added to the water via OWASA with Daria, I'm going to say her name correctly. I've written it down here. Daria Berazande.
You know, she's sitting at home right now going, it's Daria.
It's Daria. Okay, it's Ms. Berazande.
There you go.
Marcella Slade, who we just determined had the coolest name in the room, and Jackie Helvey. And we had a great conversation about how this process has come to light, for how it came to their attention and after what happened in February, what they thought from that and kind of what's going on going forward, because there are some decisions to be made going forward.
All right. Tune in this weekend. You can check out the archives on our website, chapelborough.com. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.